Christ. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. I had a hard time with that in the first service too. It was a season of light. It was a season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received, for good or for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. These are the opening lines of Charles Dickens' novel, A Tale of Two Cities. These are timeless words that have been shared over and over and over again, many different situations. And Dickens wrote this novel. It was a historical fiction novel that he wrote, set around the time of the French Revolution. And what Charles Dickens is doing is he's looking back at this time, when he wrote, at this time of the Revolution, a turbulent time in history. And he's using that as a setting for the novel, but he's also making a comparison, and he's doing something that still we do today. We tend to claim that now, the current era, is the most difficult, the most unsettled, the most interesting time of all of history. He says this, the period was so far like the present period. Now, for Dickens, he's comparing this past history of the French Revolution, comparing it to his time, Victorian era there. But those words, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, the age of foolishness. We hear these words and we think, wow, this describes 2020 right now. How many times have we heard that the year 2020, that we are described as unprecedented times? Like this hasn't happened before. Unprecedented. There's been pandemics in the past. There have been wars in the past. There's been political unrest in the past. All these things. It's just that right now, we're not reading about them in a history book. We're living them. We're experiencing them right now. And so we say, just like everyone else has said throughout all of history, we are living in the worst era of history right now. And today you can't watch the news or read a newspaper or open up a magazine or even scroll through your Facebook feed without seeing some conflict, hearing about some conflict between individuals in this country and government, right? Whether it's our country's response to a pandemic, or our local government and their response to a pandemic, whether it's situations where we see with riots and protests, or the authority of the police, or talking about abuse of power, whether it's this mounting political mess that we have right now because we've got an election this year. So everyone's going to sling mud and say all sorts of stuff. Say something about someone else, right? In the midst of all these things, what we're trying to do is determine the truth, what is really true in all this information that we get. And it's hard because sometimes it seems like our civil authorities, right, say one thing publicly and then they say or do something else privately. What should we, as Christians, what should our attitude be towards the government? It's kind of the position that we're at today. So as we look at our reading, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a very Lutheran perspective of how we look at God's activity in the world. And we've got two things that we're going to look at. We say that God operates in two kingdoms. Lutherans always like to have two things in balance, right? We've got the left-hand kingdom and the right-hand kingdom. The left-hand kingdom, this is the area of human government. Okay, government, secular authority. That's the left-hand kingdom. The right-hand kingdom, this is the kingdom of the church, where God operates in the church. Two kingdoms, left-hand and right-hand. That's what we're going to take a look at. Our reading from Romans 13 gives us a picture of the kingdom of the left-hand, of human government. This is where God rules through power and through the law. Paul says this at the beginning of our chapter. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. There's a reminder here. Any power, any authority that someone exercises in this world, that is given by God. So the people over us are exercising that power because of God. Jesus says this to Pilate. When Jesus stands before Pilate and they're talking, he reminds Pilate, he says, you have no authority other than what's been given to you by God. Now the reality, though, is that we know people in positions of power aren't always moral. They aren't always right. They aren't always effective. Sometimes they're not even good. We know this more now than ever. And as we get closer to November and in an election, we're going to hear more and more of this stuff all the time. We have seen people abuse power, abuse their position of authority in ways that are truly horrible. And you know what, too? It's not even, when we think about this left-hand kingdom and our leaders, it's not even that the leaders have to be Christian. Because God's going to do his work in the left hand of the kingdom through Christians and non-Christians alike. The rule of the kingdom of the left hand is through power and through the law. You know, this is one way that God's law, the Ten Commandments, the things that he gives us, is used as a curb to keep us from doing bad things. Consider this, right? You're driving your car. Speed limit is 55, but you're doing 80. And up ahead, you see a police car. Hopefully, seeing that police car causes you to slow down, stop what you're doing, change your actions, because you know what happens. And if you don't, or maybe it's too late, you get up ahead and you see those lights shining in your mirror, and you get pulled over, right? There's consequences when you break the law. And hopefully, what this is to cause you to change your ways. You can't keep speeding, have the policeman pull you over, and then say, well, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm a baptized child of God. You don't need to give me a ticket. It doesn't work that way. This is the kingdom of the left. The kingdom of the left works that if a crime is committed, the crime should be punished. And we want that. We benefit from this. Paul says this in verse 3. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. You're not afraid of the policeman if you're driving and doing the speed limit and behaving and following the law. You're afraid of the policeman when you're breaking the law, when you're speeding, when you're doing what you know you're not supposed to do, right? And when you see it, your conscience is like, oh, I'm caught. I know I shouldn't do that. So human government, what it does, the kingdom of the left hand, it's there to bring us peace and order. And what happens is that when we have peace and order in this left-hand kingdom, we, you as Christians, can do God's work. The right-hand kingdom, we'll get to that. We're free to do God's work, that work charged to us, sharing the gospel. God works through human government to give us order and prosperity so that you and I can go out and share the good news of Jesus and do that safely, right? Now, there's something to keep in mind. The kingdom of the left hand, it's about law, right? It's not about righteousness found in Jesus. That's never been the role of the government. I'm talking about big picture here, right? So that, you know, it's not that a church has to go out to work so that America is a Christian nation and all our leaders, they need to be Christian leaders. We might want that because of, you know, the way we understand the word and truth, and we understand the blessings they're given in the world. But God's going to work law and order through all rulers, through Christians and non-Christians alike. And it's our prayer that these rulers, whoever they are able to follow God's direction in their vocations, and that they work that they are charged to do, they do that honorably and justly. But here's the thing, is that we don't like to be subject to anyone. And you've heard this before. Well, he's not my president. I didn't vote for him. Well, I don't agree with what the government's doing with my money, so I'm not going to pay taxes. Well, I'm not going to obey this law because I don't like this law. People think they can do that and say that. But you don't have the authority to do that. Luther reminds us in the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. He expands that to help us understand that this is to honor, to serve, and obey all people in authority over us. Not because we agree or disagree, not because we like them or we don't like them, but because the authority that they have in that position comes from God, not them as a person. Behind this is God. The authority and the work that God extends on the kingdom of the left allows us to do God's work of the church, sharing the gospel. You know, Paul wrote this. When Paul wrote this, Nero was who was in charge of Rome. Now, at the beginning of his reign as emperor, he was kind of a good guy. People looked at it as good times. This is before he went mad and crazy and did all that stuff. But one of the things Paul does, he's talking about this, talking about Rome, he enjoys the benefits of that left-hand kingdom. Paul can travel on roads and do that safely and get from place to place to place because of human government. Paul can travel on a boat and all those different journeys he took. He can do that without fear of pirates attacking them and destroying the ship and keeping them from their journey because of the human government, the empire that was there. This has nothing to do with necessarily who is the specific emperor, but government allows him to enjoy that peace and that prosperity and that order so that he can share the gospel freely and do that as well, right? This is God's work through government. Not to save people, but to care for people, to provide for them. That's their job, the kingdom of the left hand. Now, by what about that other kingdom, all right? So we got the left-hand kingdom. The right-hand kingdom, the right hand is a position of honor, right? Remember how Jesus had his disciples, James and John, arguing about who's going to sit on his left and right? And you know, they, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, can we sit on your right hand? That's what they wanted. This is a position of honor. The right-hand kingdom is God's kingdom of grace. This is the church. This is the church. This is where God rules through the word and through sacraments. It's the job of the kingdom of the right hand not to enforce the laws of the world and to rule with power, but to call sinners to repentance and to share the gospel. It's to use the kingdom or the commandments of God to condemn sin and to exhort us to live a life that's pleasing to God. And in the midst of that, you're going to hear the precious news of Jesus, the Savior, and that forgiveness and that life found only in Him. See, this is where life and forgiveness is found. In a righteousness that comes from God, not a righteousness of the world, but a righteousness that comes from God that is eternal and perfect and outside of ourselves. This is how people are saved. This is where people are saved, not because of government, but through the work of the church. And then those eternal promises in the kingdom of the right hand, they're not taken away, regardless of what happens in the world. It's there and it's true and it's forever. And it's for us. It's sharing that good news of Jesus. Jesus, who is God, who submitted to the authorities of the world and was killed, right? But he did that for us so we might have life and forgiveness and be with him forever. That's the job of the church, to share that message of Christ's death, His life, His death, His resurrection. Now, churches and Christians, you know, we stand for certain causes in the world. As we read through the scriptures and God's truth there, causes us to stand up and speak for things, especially when things we see are not necessarily right or wrong. You know, when we see things about life and all life, how it's precious to God. So we'll speak against abortion. We'll speak about euthanasia, the value of all life, life that's not born yet, the life that is just born, even a life that's coming to an end. these things. We stand and we speak for these things. We know right and wrong given to us in Scripture. You know, and if government tells us to do things against the Word of God, or to not talk about Jesus, or to keep us from gathering together, we might stand up and resist and say that that's not true, that's not right, you can't do that. But we do that knowing that, one, we're breaking the law, and we gladly and willingly accept the punishment for breaking that law, right? We do that for the sake of the gospel, because we need to obey God and not men. But we don't expect our human government to share the good news of Jesus. That's not their job. That's your job, my job. That's the job of the church. And likewise, churches don't go and enforce the law of the land or execute judgment on those who break the law. That's the work of government, of secular authorities. That's not the work of the church. We need both kingdoms in this world, the left-hand kingdom and the right-hand kingdom. And God works through both of them to do very different things, right? But he does that all for us. Ideally, as the left-hand kingdom, as government works to enforce order and law and rule, as that happens, we get to prosper and flourish. And the work of the right-hand kingdom can go out into the world and share the good news of Jesus. Christians are to live a life seeing both of these things, living in both kingdoms, recognizing the power and authority in each and submitting to those. Not because of the person, but because of the God who instituted those things. We live our life out in the world, not just here in church, but also in the world, right? In the left-hand kingdom as well. And your attitude about them, about government, about the church, it matters. Your witness to Christ matters. Paul says this, verse 6, "For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Give respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." These seem like words that our world, our society, our culture doesn't even know today. We have a hard time with this when we see what happens in the world. Because sometimes we get caught up in the individual and what they're doing or not doing, rather than respecting and honoring them because of the position and the power that comes from that position. Paul encourages us to do this. So recognize the ultimate authority from God, and that our human leaders have been placed there in a position for God to work in the world, right? Through law, through power, for our good and for our peace. So to respect our leaders, that's to respect God himself, the one who instituted that position. And to disrespect our leaders, to disrespect those who are elected. You don't want to pay taxes because you don't believe what the government's doing with the money is spent. What's to disregard what God is doing to bring order and peace for the benefit of all people? It's disrespecting God, and that's a sin. Paul reminds us, "For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath," right? It's wrong if you don't subject, "but also for the sake of conscience." So to bring this all to a close, what I want us to think about, encourage us to think about, is our Christian witness in all of these things. Because what happens here in the church, what happens here in Sunday, maybe what happens in your homes, you know, if we live our life out there in a way that violates the law of the land, if we live our life disregarding those positioned in authority over us, our message as a Christian is destroyed. The work of the church is tarnished. We're seen as hypocrites. We give a bad witness to those who don't know Jesus. They're going to say, "Oh, are those what Christians are like? They don't pay their taxes? They don't listen to their leaders? They don't follow and respect authority? Why do I want to be a part of that?" These next few months are going to get ugly, right? We know what's coming. It's an election year. And the time right now is pretty ugly. There's blatant disrespect to people in positions of authority all over our country. What I want to encourage everyone is to give honor and respect where it is due, not because of the person in the office, but because of the authority that stands behind that office, because of God and how God works through that office, through government, to provide us with peace and comfort. Do not conform to the ways of the world. Don't do what everybody else is doing. We see that a lot right now, and it breaks our heart. Shine a light. Shine a light in the darkness of this world so our witness to God can remain, and can remain loud and true without any barrier or hindrance to the truth. So guard your speech. Watch what you post online. Put the best construction on things. Give honor where honor is due. Respect where respect is due. There's a powerful witness that can be had right now in a world that needs to see it. Let's pray for our elected officials. Let's exercise our role as citizens in this country, participating in elections. Don't say, I got nothing to do with politics and stay out of that stuff. No. Work through your role as a citizen. And if there's change that needs to be made, work through those ways to provide that change. Hold our elected officials responsible for the roles that they're elected to. Expect them to do their job, to do that with honor and integrity, and call them to task when they don't, and do that through the proper channels given to us in this country. But let's show honor and respect in a country right now that doesn't even know what those words mean. And in doing that, shine the light of Christ, as the kingdom of the left hand provides us an opportunity to share who Jesus is and what he's done for the world. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you would please rise. We're going to share together in a confession of faith, and we'll do that together about what we believe about our triune God. We'll do that in